Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, broadcasting from the PNC Bank in Westlake on Crocker Road, right across from Crocker Park. Vic Carucci with you. Nathan Zagura is back in the studios in Berea. And Nathan, I got to tell you this. A guy just walked up. We have lots of people showing up here for food. There's hot dogs, mini sandwiches. There's interactive games. People are hanging around wearing their Browns gear on a Paint the Town
awesome.
Browns Friday.
That's right.
But a dude just walked up to me, and guess what he said? He said, "Notorious, I love the show." So thanks to you.
The Notorious V.I.C. is catching on.
The nickname is sticking. Thanks so much for that. I you know what? I love it. It's good. It's a good thing.
That is awesome.
Actually,
I love
the family likes it too, by the way. They wanted to thank you for that from the whole Carucci clan.
Good. I'm glad the Carucci clan's on board with it. I know everybody I talk to about it loves it. So is that your first, like, outside of this studio notoriousing, if you will?
There's no question. I've had other nicknames not nearly as cool as that, and I'm about as uncool as it gets. So
oh, please.
You've added some cool to the repertoire.
You're on the rise.
At least that's what the young people say. speaking of cool, speaking of a guy who's been cool his entire life and will continue to be cool, is he's on the line with us right now, the one and only Bernie Kosar. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Vic. What's up, guys?
Did anybody ever call you Notorious?
Well, Notorious, that was one of the nicer things. I've been trying to be a little careful with my terminology now, since sometimes it causes a little bit of an uproar. And Vic, for the weekend, could you cash a check for me since you're over there? PNC?
Well, certainly. I know. I'm right here, and I think they got some money inside, too. Yeah, we could take care of that for you, Bernie. No problem. Bernie Kosar on the line. So, Bernie, no, I guess we got to start with the news of the day. Buster Skrine showing up on the injury report, questionable now, shoulder injury that he apparently suffered in practice yesterday. How much concern does that raise for you for Sunday's game?
Well, you know, in the short run of these next couple weeks, and specifically in the next 48 hours before the game on Sunday, being already thin at the cornerback position, it is something that you'd like to discount. You'd like to say, no, it's not a big deal. Buster, and the way he's been playing, the way he's been performing, the way he's been elevating his game, I think this is something where you want to have him as close to 100% as possible. And you definitely, I think we need him in the game. With the Dolphins going and kind of changing, going to get Mike Wallace. They've spent over $200 million in the free agent market, Mike Wallace being one of the speed guys that they brought in. This is something that I hope doesn't end up materializing and being a big issue. I think it can be, though.
Bernie, the quarterback, Brandon Whedon, goes into this game week one. Lots of pressure in the sense that it's an important game for this team to win at home, defend the home field against the Miami Dolphins. He will be doing it without his top receiver, Josh Gordon, also out for week number two against the Baltimore Ravens. What kind of an impact does that have on the game plan, and what should we be looking for out of this offense in other ways to generate big plays, knowing that they don't have number 12 on the field?
Well, you know what? Because it's not a quick injury like, say, the Buster injury or potential injury to the game, and this has been planned, this has been understood, you know, for a couple months now, and the season is starting. I think it's not as big an issue. It is an issue not having him, of course, when you have somebody as athletic as Josh Gordon is. And he started making some plays in that Bears game. And a lot of us have been talking on the air and privately about him making the transition of the spectacular plays that we've watched him do through OTAs, through minicamp, through training camp, and being able to translate that from the practice field into a real game is something that would be imperatively successful for the Browns and for Brandon Whedon. But since we haven't had that, and we've known that he's not going to be there for a couple games, I don't think it's as big an issue as it would be if this happened in the month of December.
Bernie Kosar joins us on the line. Former Browns quarterback, a regular here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci broadcasting from PNC Bank in Westlake on Crocker Road, right across from Crocker Park. Come on out and join us here. Festivities really going on till 6 p.m. Beyond our show, leaving the air in a little less than an hour from now. But come on out. There's food. There's interactive games. There's all kinds of good stuff. Nathan Zagura back in the studio in Berea for the show. Bernie, we've got to get some thoughts from you watching a masterpiece performance last night by Peyton Manning.
Wow. It was, like, to me, a work of art. To see, yeah, the 7 touchdowns, the 400 and I think 67 yards passing. I think it was 27 for 42 in the game. But the way he did it, you know, I thought Coach Harbaugh kind of tipped his hand a little bit when he said a couple days ago that the Baltimore Ravens are going to be doing everything the same from a schedule standpoint that they did last year before that double overtime playoff game. I think Peyton Manning, a student of the game, the way he analyzes, the way he prepares, it's well documented. But I think he realized that Baltimore had success beating them last year, and that the similarities of what they used in the month of January in the playoffs to stop them was going to be so much similar scheme to how they attacked. They played the Denver offense again on Thursday night. By halftime, those thoughts and the planning and stuff, it turns into plays in the first and second quarter. You could see Peyton Manning, by the end of the second quarter, he had it down, what he wanted to do. And again, I'm not trying to over-dramatize this, but somebody like us who probably obsessively to a fault loves the game of football, that was as artistic a performance by a quarterback. And the way he did it, not only with his throwing, but schematically picking it apart, the accuracy. You know, so much was said about him and his arm strength coming back from that injury last year. His arm strength after another year of preparing, of strengthening his core, his body, his lower body, you could see more zip on the ball. Boy, if he stays healthy and the timing he already has with Wes Welker, that's going to be one heck of an offense to watch throughout the year.
It certainly is going to be one heck of an offense to watch throughout the year, and it was enjoyable to watch them dissect that Ravens defense. And did you notice a lack of, you know, they've turned over so many pieces in that defense from last year to this year that it takes some time to gel. And I think the Browns are going to catch a little bit of a break by getting that defense earlier in the season, because it looked like some of those new pieces were still figuring out how to work together.
Well, they were last night, and I hope you're right, Nathan. I also could go the other way and say that with 10 days to prepare, and when you get embarrassed on national TV,
they'll
like
be
that,
angry.
Yeah. That the defending Super Bowl champs aren't Super Bowl champs by accident, and there's a lot of guys still left, although they did lose a lot of their leadership. There's no doubt about that. But that ability to kind of bounce back and again get that bad taste out of their mouth, and just not wanting to go 0-2 on the season, they have a lot at stake. Besides just their first game back from first home game since the Super Bowl, and I know the Orioles and that whole thing with the baseball and not having it there, but I don't think they did Baltimore any favors by them winning the Super Bowl and then have to play Peyton Manning in Denver on national TV as their first game, because typically the Super Bowl team gets a favorable at-home game, their first game coming off of the Super Bowl win.
Yeah, and that was about as unfavorable as it gets when you throw in the altitude and a stoked-up crowd there in the Mile High City. Bernie Kosar is on the line with us, former Browns quarterback right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci here at the PNC Bank in Westlake on Crocker Road, right across from Crocker Park. Come on out. There's food, there's hot dogs, there's mini sandwiches, there's refreshments, there's interactive games, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Be sure to be part of it here. Nathan Zagura back in our studio in Berea. Bernie, want to ask you about Brandon Whedon and the idea that, you know, we talked about this a little bit on yesterday's show. For all the talk that someone has to step up for Josh Gordon, we start the conversation with Travis Benjamin, obviously at wide receiver, see what Devon Best can do as well at wide receiver, and then possibly see what happens with Greg Little and everybody else, Jordan Cameron, I mean, all the pass catchers, Trent Richardson running the football, fine. All of that makes sense and is logical, but it really seems to me that you've got to be the quarterback who takes charge under these circumstances and who makes this thing really the difference maker, even though he's missing his biggest difference maker. Talk about that as a quarterback, the mentality. How can Brandon Whedon make the difference for missing that receiver?
Well, Vic, you can even tell by the passion in your voice and the detail in which you even asked that question how imperatively important it is. And it's something to where, from a quarterback perspective, you really, not only do you have to be cognizant of it, you have to almost relish that position to never be using excuses, accepting excuses for failure, not even trying to be positive, not only to the team and as a leader, but to yourself, that you're here for a reason. This is your team. You are the guy who is going to be the difference maker. You're not planning on hoping you hand the ball off and Trent Richardson will make the play or the defense is going to make the play. You want to be the guy who makes the play. And you start that out days in advance of the game by how you conduct yourself in practice. How do you handle yourself around your teammates? How do you handle yourself in the locker room? How you handle yourself in the meeting rooms, and how you then, when you go home at night, visualize and prepare to have plays down that you know you could go to, that you have confidence in, that you could make the play, and you are the leader of the team, and you want to not only show the other team and the fans, you want to show your teammates on the team, and especially those other 10 guys that have the honor to be in the huddle with you.
I wrote a column for ClevelandBrowns.com on this subject, and the feedback about Wheaton, about his work ethic. You heard North Turner talk about it, and Trent Richardson talked about it at length. Trent Richardson used the word incredible. He said the guy has made what he described as a 180, coming in at 7 o'clock in the morning consistently to watch tape and be into it and be on his, you know, be on his P's and Q's, basically studying, investing the time, and really showing that leadership that you want to see from the quarterback position. Your sense of that, because you're around Brandon too, do you see a different guy who is just maybe a little more committed to doing what a quarterback needs to do?
Well, I'm not sure he wasn't not committed last year, but I think he now sees and knows what he has to do. And again, much is said about that being a rookie and that move from the first year to the second year. So many things in terms of just that we take for granted, like knowing the environment, knowing the city, knowing the locker room, knowing the other guys on the team, knowing where the meeting rooms are, knowing how to work the projectors, how to get to the video that you want, knowing the routine that you have in the weight room, knowing where you are in and around town, how to get places, so that your sole focus could be on not the peripheral things, but your sole focus could be on your plays, on your production, on your team, on winning games, on being a good offense, a consistent offense, a scoring offense. When you don't have any of those other kind of distractions around you or uncertainties, and you can kind of get those past and you know what you want to do, it allows you, I think, more time to focus on just those things that you want to do that directly affect you playing good football, by you making good passes, by you making good reads, by you making big plays. And this year, you could definitely see the difference in them.
Bernie, Ryan Tannehill does not have a lot of experience playing at the quarterback position as a starter. You know, he's very new to it, as Vic's talked about extensively here on the show, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. But he did play against Ray Horton's offense in Arizona last year, career-high 26 completions, 41 attempts, 431 yards, one touchdown, and also threw two interceptions in that game. So he does have a little bit of experience against this scheme. But how do you think getting that kind of scouting, which, you know, typically a guy coming from Arizona wouldn't get against the Miami Dolphins, how much better prepared do you think that will enable Ray Horton to be for Ryan Tannehill this time around?
Well, Ryan Tannehill, it does. It always helps when you get to physically play and see against a guy, either with him or you're competing against. So there's definitely something to that. I mean, the same with Tannehill, and though we just said with Brandon, he's also going into his second year. He is the unquestioned quarterback leader of this offense for the Dolphins. They have very high expectations. You know, they put almost $200 million in free agency this year. This Jeff Ireland, much has been made about if they don't make the playoffs, odds are they're going to be a new structure, new guys, new players there for them. So there's a lot of pressure on that team. And that being said, you know, you go on the road for your opener, and it's the Browns' home opener, with that pressure, with that expectation that's paramount for the Dolphins, a win, or there's going to be changes within the organization type attitude, that pressure could actually manifest itself. And I like to see us be able to put that, keep that pressure on them, especially early, and don't give them a sense of self-confidence, of the positive feeling, because they already have the pressure to succeed. And that, if they could keep that on them, if they don't have a success early, if they could put that pressure on them by not scoring early, by maybe forcing them into a mistake, I think that can maybe manifest itself and it kind of grow, and that could definitely work in the Browns' favor.
Bernie, thank you so much for joining us. We greatly appreciate it. Love the knowledge and the breakdown. As always, super, super stuff. And we'll see you on Sunday, my brother.
Sounds great. See you down there.
All right, Bernie.
The one and only Bernie Kosar joining us by phone on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we have got much more coming up for you. We're going to have a conversation with the man, Paul Clark from PNC Bank, in a little bit. We'll talk about the partnership, the huge partnership between the Browns and this team. Yours truly, Vic Carucci, broadcasting from the PNC Bank in Westlake on Crocker Road, right across from Crocker Park. Be sure to come on out and join us. There's food, hot dogs, mini sandwiches, good stuff being available here for fans who come out, interactive games. Hang out with us. It's such a beautiful day. If you're driving by, you're in the neighborhood, or if you're not in the neighborhood, come on by. This will be going on until 6 p.m., so we're going to be here for the rest of the show, but all of the other stuff going on in the parking lot is here then. Lots of people here having fun, so come join it. Nathan Zagura is back at the studio in Berea. We've got more of CBD ahead for you on ESPN 850 WKNR.